from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. As you might remember from last week's show, Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council have been leading a trip to the Holy Land for the past several days, and this week we'll be sharing more from our special guests in Israel. A little later on in the show, Dean Hahn and Tony discuss the importance of supporting Israel. Also, Avi Melamed shares an insider's look at Israel and the Middle East. But first, during a bus ride in Israel, Tony talked with former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann about Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo, as well as cooperative training programs involving Israeli police. Here's Tony Perkins.
All right, we are on bus number 2, rolling beyond the green line. Now, this is an excited crowd. I'm told that bus number 2, I'm told it's the best bus. That's what Michelle has told me. And kind of leading this bus, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota and a former member of the Select Committee on Intelligence in the House. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. This bus is having a great time here in Israel. We're all happy to be with FRC.
Well, this is, technology is great. We're actually able to do the radio program rolling down the road on a bus with looking at the hills of Samaria and Judea. It's quite amazing. We're seeing biblical prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. But before we get to the fact we're beyond the green line and what that means, let's talk about the nomination of Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State. Rand Paul in the Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs says he is going to oppose it. There's only 11 Republicans, 10 Democrats, so with his opposition, that means the nomination this evening, when the vote is cast, will most likely fail, meaning Mitch McConnell will have to take it to the floor. What's the significance of Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State?
Mike Pompeo is a brilliant pick on the part of President Trump. He's brilliant on a number of different levels. Number one, he's highly competent. He graduated first in his class from West Point Military Academy. He served as an officer in the United States military. He understands what it is to be in command. He also understands what it is to run a business. He started from scratch a very successful business. He also served in the United States Congress on the Intelligence Committee, and he's now the director of the CIA. Highly qualified for this position.
And of course, we've already heard this from Israelis. They're very supportive of that nomination, combined with John Bolton. They feel like foreign policy coming out of the White House is going to be much stronger than even what it has been.
That's right, Tony. And the reason for that is because there's a proven record with John Bolton, who's the head of the National Security Council, and there's a proven record with Mike Pompeo. We know what their philosophy is, and it's directly in line with that of the President of the United States, which is pro-Israel.
You're listening to Washington Watch. As I mentioned earlier, we're actually on a bus as a part of the FRC Israel tour. We're going right now into the area of Samaria and Judea. This is what's called beyond the Green Line. This is also described as the West Bank or Eastern Israel, as I like to describe it. What's significant about this region?
This is the biblical homeland of the Jewish people. This is the land of Benjamin and of Ephraim. All of these cities that we're looking at now on the bus, Tony, are all the cities that we read about as children in the Bible. But it was also the land that God gave specifically to the Jewish people. The boundaries were laid out, and every bit of the land of Judea and Samaria is a part of the land that God has given permanently, forever, to the Jewish people.
But this area, which is so significant to the Jewish and the Christian faiths, this is really the heart of the BDS movement, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. In fact, just in the last 72 hours, we've seen where Durham, North Carolina, the city council there, voting to prohibit their law enforcement from training with Israeli police forces, one of the first municipalities in the country to take a vote, essentially a BDS vote. They're not saying it as such, but it is the same groups that are pushing it.
And it is based upon a lie. There are lies. We're at war. of Israel is at war because the Islamic movement has declared war on them. Why? They want to push all the Jews out of the land of Israel so that they can take it over. Part of that strategy is through the war of words, propaganda. And these are lies that are being told that Israel is an apartheid country, it's a militaristic country. And so now even in Durham, North Carolina, the police force is told that it would be militaristic to train with the Israeli police force, and when in actuality what they're doing is learning techniques on how to deal with terrorism. No one knows better how to deal with terrorism and mass casualties. The American people know that we've had one terrorist incident after another in the United States, including in North Carolina. So it would be prudent for police departments to train with the Israelis, who are the best trained in the world to know how to deal with terrorism.
Well, and I can speak to that from personal experience, having worked with the Israeli forces when it came to anti-terrorists. Back when I worked with the State Department as a contractor, they were some of the best instructors, because you learn by doing. And this isn't a region in the world that is, it's a tough neighborhood. But they keep the people safe, and they keep law, and they keep order, and they respect human rights. This is a real twisting of the human rights record when you look at who is really abusing rights. I believe as Christians, we love the Jewish people, we love Israel, we love the Palestinian people. We love all people because everyone is created in the image of God, and Jesus died for the world. That includes everybody. But when you look at governments, I don't see the Israeli government and authorities violating human rights. I see that more from the Palestinian Authority.
Oh, 100%. The freest place for a woman in the Middle East is to be in Israel, and that's for Arab women. They have more rights and more freedoms in Israel than anywhere else. I invite all of your listeners to come on one of these FRC trips to Israel, and you will see firsthand for yourself, Israel is a first world country. It is the freest place in the Middle East, and we want to make sure that that freedom is enjoyed all across the Middle East. Unfortunately, a lot of the elites, like in the Palestinian Authority, see the world in a very different way. And for them to keep positions of power, they have to come up with a scapegoat. And the scapegoat is always Israel. But when you see the facts on the ground, you learn that the situation is completely opposite. This is the freest, most productive, most forward-looking area. And as you said, human rights are enforced here by the Supreme Court, by the Knesset. And people might not realize Arabs serve in the Knesset. They're allowed to run for office as well. That's freedom. As opposed to now that we are within this area known as the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, in this particular area, we will see signs. For instance, if we come up to the town of Nablus, there will be a sign that says, "No Jews allowed." There is no place like that in Israel that's comparable, but you will see that here. This is an apartheid state in the Palestinian Authority. It is not in Israel. And again, it's because this is a war of words through propaganda.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Again, we've taken our studio on the road, so it may sound a little different than normal. You heard a few bumps on the side of the road back there. That was not me nodding off in the studio. We are on the road in Israel, actually looking out the windows at the hills of Samaria that are green and lush. And we're seeing, again, biblical prophecy. Look at Jeremiah 31. By the way, before I continue with Michelle, I encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. And I'm going to have a map up there that shows Israel and what's called the Green Line. Now, what's significant about that is that's the 1967 borders. Now, we heard during the last administration, the Barack Obama administration, of pulling back and recognizing those 1967 borders. When you look at the map in the Green Line that's on there, you begin to understand how difficult it would be for Israel to defend its homeland with such boundaries. And Michelle, I want to ask you about that, this continued push to try to delegitimize Israel, these areas that are called settlements. We're on our way to Ariel, which is a thriving community with a hospital, university, industrial park. It's called a settlement. This is one of the areas that could potentially be on the chopping block.
Well, that's right, because again, remember, at the end of the day, the purpose of the Palestinian Authority is to drive every Jew out of Israel. So there is no end game that sees any Jew staying in this land called Israel. Well, that's never going to happen. The Jewish people are here to stay forever. The Bible tells us that, but the political government of Israel says that. We're not going anywhere. So this is a figment of the Palestinian Authority's imagination to think they're actually going to push the Jews away. And again, as you said rightly, this is all about illegitimacy. And that's why one of the wisest things President Trump could have done is to establish the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, because that says that Jerusalem is legitimately the capital of Israel. And again, the Palestinians don't want that. They don't want to see, because they say the Jews have no right to Jerusalem. They have no right to 1 inch of this square inch of land. This land has been under contention for over 2,000 years, so we shouldn't be surprised about that. The important thing is to get the facts about Israel. This land, Israel won in the 1967 war. They have won it. No one gave this land to Israel. This is land that they have earned on their own. They've won wars. It would be, for instance, for our listeners, if we gave California and Texas back to Mexico or Arizona, that we would still be fighting that war. Well, the Palestinians lost the war in 1967, but they won't take no for an answer. And so they think because they lost it in war, they should be able to win it through the war of words and the war of diplomacy. Why in the world should Israel give back this land? This is their land. And so they are legitimately staking their claim on the land that they have won.
Well, and I want one slight modification there, and I know you meant this. It was given to them by God.
Amen. That's right.
And so it is their land, but they've had to fight to keep it. Michelle Bachman, thanks so much for joining me today on radio, and thanks for joining us on this tour of Israel.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Right, bus number two?
Yay!
If you want to find out more about Michelle Bachman, head on over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to tonyperkins.com and making a contribution. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with an insider's look at the Middle East.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Avi Melamed is a former Israeli intelligence official turned author, and he recently sat down with Tony to offer his unique insights into our understanding of the events unfolding in the Middle East. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Avi, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. Thank you very much.
Your book, I mentioned the Inside the Middle East, Making Sense of the Most Dangerous and Complicated Region of the World. I read it. I'm not an intelligence expert. It appears that you wrote this book for the average person to understand what is happening in the Middle East.
That is very correct, Tony. I believe there is a need, in West, particularly in the West and the United States, to elaborate the knowledge about the Middle East that goes beyond the shallow, flat media headlines, and I think that people really need that knowledge.
I mean, this is really a complex mixture here in the Middle East, and one of the things that you write about, which makes perfect sense now, is the Iran and the axis of resistance here in the Middle East. Explain that to our listeners.
The Axis of Resistance is a network of agents and proxies nurtured or developed by the Iranian mullah regime to basically justify the expansion policy of the mullah regime in the different parts of the Middle East. It is all being done under the banner of eliminating the state of Israel, a banner and a slogan that unfortunately speaks to different people in the region. The mullah regime, unfortunately, as of now, was very skillfully taking advantage of that to expand its influence, for example, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza Strip and other places. This is one of the most challenging situations in the Middle East.
And we see this actively playing out in Syria, right here on the Israeli border.
Definitely. The war in Syria is way beyond the civil war. It's portrayed in the Western media. It's actually a war that basically brings together to the fight Iran on the one hand and the Axis of Resistance that complies with Iran, together with Russia and Assad. And on the other hand, we have Arab-Syrian Sunni forces that are actually trying to end the Iranian occupation and the Syrian and the Russian occupation of Syria.
So what is in Syria, the outcome of this? What's in it for Iran and what is in it for Russia?
For Iran, it will enable Iran to continue the attempts to create the strangling loop around Israel next. Iran started by doing that in Lebanon vis-a-vis the Hezbollah, through the Hezbollah in Gaza Strip, through the Hamas and Islamic Jihad. So for the Iranian regime, that will be another step to try and to accomplish what they are basically saying all the time. The mullah regime says the state of Israel will cease to exist in 25 years from now. This is a master plan. This is an orchestrated plan. So in that context, Syria is an enormously significant component for the mullah's regime. For Russia, Syria provides great benefits. Putin is the big winner as of now in Syria because in a relatively speaking small investment, he got great cards to play with. He has an aerial base in Syria. He has a naval base in Syria. He has an access to the huge gas reservoirs in the eastern basin of the Mediterranean. He can use the Syrian story as a pressure card against the U.S. and the West in the context of the negotiations over Ukraine, Eastern Europe, Central Europe. As far as Putin is concerned, his presence in Syria that has been done in a small investment is a great dividend.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Avi Melamed, my guest. All right, so we understand Iran, Russia, their motivation there. When we see the future for Israel, you're actually not alone in your opposition to Iran because you have other Arab countries that are concerned about the aggressive nature of Iran.
That is very accurate, Tony. In fact, what we see today is because of this huge Iranian-Arab power struggle that rocks and shakes the Middle East to its core. It's not only Syria. It's Lebanon, it's Iraq, it's the Gulf area, it's Yemen, it's the Gaza Strip, it's the Iranian nuclear deal. The outcome of that is that major Arab states players like Saudi Arabia, like the Gulf states, like Egypt, like Jordan, actually look today at Israel as a strategic asset that is very vital to their own interest, and particularly in the context of the threat and the challenge they are facing because of the mullah's regime in Tehran.
So, Avi, what role does America play in this, in supporting, standing with the strategic nature of our relationship with Israel?
To sum it up, Tony, I would say something like that. During the time of the Obama's administration, the overall look at the Middle East, not only in Israel, was that the United States is no longer a valid player in the Middle East. That is now changed because under Trump administration, all factors in the Middle East basically looks once again at the United States as a very significant player that has to be listened to. And this is the major difference.
Are there openings right now that we see in other countries here in the Middle East that could become strategic partners with Israel?
Definitely. We could see already, it's no longer a secret, the growing relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia, the tight cooperation between Israel and Egypt, mostly around security issues and economic issues. The same applies for Israeli-Jordanian relationship. Definitely you could see these growing connections.
Avi Melamed, how can folks find a copy of your book Inside the Middle East, Making Sense of the Most Dangerous and Complicated Region of the World?
Well, Tony, the book is available at Amazon. It's available in stores. It's also available in audio version, and I'm very welcome people to join and read it.
Well, I think it's a fascinating book, very insightful, very helpful in understanding what is happening here in the Middle East. Avi Milliman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony, so much for having me.
If you want to find out more about Avi Milliman, just head on over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'll be right back with a biblical case for supporting Israel.
If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendars for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Mike Huckabee, Paul Ryan, Ben Carson, Steve Scalise, Kellyanne Conway, Kirk Cameron, Laura Ingraham, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levine. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the special early bird price, but act fast. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to tonyperkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at tonyperkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. The teaching pastor on Family Research Council's tour of Israel has been Pastor Dean Hahn of First Baptist Church in Morristown, Tennessee. He and Tony sat down for a discussion about the biblical responsibility Christians have for supporting Israel.
Dean, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's an honor to be on the radio program, but it's an honor to be here with you and with almost 200 people that have gathered together on this trip to Israel. And it certainly is a trip of a lifetime. Honor to be with you.
Well, we began this morning. You did a teaching at the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of the New Covenant. And there's something about being here that brings the scripture alive.
No question. I came on my very first trip to Israel in 1998. My testimony is that my Bible had been, of course, wonderful and black and white, but once I came to Israel, it became high definition. And I tell everyone that I was born again in 1972, and my Bible got born again in 1998 on my first trip to Israel. It's amazing what happens to the Word of God when you are actually standing in the very areas where all of these things took place, where Jesus walked, where Paul preached, where Peter proclaimed the message of the gospel. It is an amazing thing that transpires in your heart, your soul, your spirit, when you're actually able to walk in these places.
Now, Pastor Dean, I've actually read and heard your sermons that you have preached on Israel, and you've been pretty outspoken about the need for the church, Christians, to stand with Israel.
I absolutely believe that, not only in a political sense, and of course we're so thrilled that our country stands with Israel, and especially our current administration standing with Israel, but also in a spiritual and biblical sense. I believe it's imperative that we stand with Israel, with the Jewish people, because God is not finished with them yet. We have not, as the church, replaced them. We have been grafted in, and as a result of what God is doing with the Jewish people, he has brought them back to the land to prepare the place and the platform for the coming again of Messiah. He has not broken his covenants with them. The covenant was for the lineage and the land. He has not broken that covenant. In fact, if you want to put the whole Bible together, you can do so by thinking about the lineage, the land, the lamb who came the first time, and the lion who's coming again. Or, as we've talked about, the seed, the soil, the Savior who came to die on the cross and be raised from the grave, and the sovereign who is coming again. We believe and all biblical prophecy requires that Israel be back in the land. How are the Jewish people going to look upon the one whom they pierced, according to the prophet Zechariah, if they are scattered all over the earth and they are not back in the land? He is not coming to reveal himself to the Arab people or even to the Gentiles, although that will be a part of it. But he is coming to primarily reveal himself first and foremost to the Jewish people because of his covenant. And because God says, I have established my word, my name is at stake. If I do not do this, my name, my reputation is at stake. So this is an act of sovereign God. And I personally believe as a pastor that anyone who stands against Israel, against the Jewish people, it doesn't mean that they don't have faults and that they're perfect. And it doesn't mean that we cast disparaging comments or ways on the Palestinian or Arab people. But if we stand against the Jewish people, we are actually standing against the sovereign plans and purposes of God.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. As I mentioned, just jumping in here for Russ for just a segment to bring you an update from Israel. As we've got a group of about 200 friends and supporters here in Israel. Pastor Dean Hahn, I'm talking with right now, one of our teaching pastors that's with us on the trip. Pastor Dean, let me just quickly follow up on that. What you're saying is there is a place for America and Christians to correct Israel if they're not right on an issue. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they do, but this is much deeper from a theological standpoint as Christians. And there's no other way to explain what's happened in this land in the last 70 years except that God's hand has been upon this. So either you're with what God is doing or you're against it.
There's no question, Tony. In fact, one of the things that we'll talk about on this trip is that all of the modern wars of Israel are not studied by today's generals across the world because they don't make any sense. Because Israel has miraculously won victory after victory after victory. And it's like God's sovereign hand is keeping them together, and he's going to reveal his purposes later. So there is no question whatsoever in my heart, my opinion, according to the Word of God, that what we are seeing with our very eyes today is absolutely an act of sovereign God.
Pastor Dean Hahn, again, great to have you on the program today, but also great to have you on the trip.
Thank you, Brother Tony. It's a great honor. And let me just say one other thing. The Family Research Council is an incredible blessing to me as a pastor because they help me and they stand beside me as I take a stand on the absolute authority of God's Word.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.